The sermon this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. So if you have your Bibles, or you have your phones with your Bibles on them, or you have your iPad, or you know all the scripture off by heart, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, Paul makes this really important statement about the devil. Now, we don't want the devil to outsmart us, and we know that the devil has evil work or evil plans, don't we? Or do we? Sometimes I wonder whether we do. Where is that scripture? I didn't put it in there. That's interesting. Who's got it? It's 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Gabby will have it. Or do you want to read it out?
Sure, just that verse. So that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes.
Thank you. So are we familiar with his evil schemes? Lately I've been, actually over months, I've been hearing Christians make statements that make me wonder whether we actually do believe that we know that the devil has plans and evil plans to take us out, to deal to us. Because some of the statements I hear don't line up with believing that the devil does have an evil plan, and we're blaming it on other things like the world, like the government, like other people, like other Christians. So my sermon's title this morning is If I Was the Devil. I wanted a reverb thing, but apparently we don't have it, so I just had to do it that way. So if I was the devil, I'd make sure I live up to what the Bible says about me. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. That's Jesus speaking. So, if I was the devil, I'd convince people, first off, that I'm not real. Because if you don't believe that I'm real, then you're not going to believe that I'm going to do anything to you. And most, or a lot of the world, believe that the devil is this red fella, rather tall, with horns, red undies, a bit of a tail, and a pitchfork. And don't bend over, because he'll poke you with his pitchfork when you're not looking. That's most people's belief on what the devil is like. But he's not. Because if we read the Bible says that he comes like he's quite good looking. And if you're a male, he's probably a female, all dressed nicely. If you're a female, he's probably a male, very handsome. And he comes subtly, not in your face, like the picture that is given, like the cartoon picture. So the very first thing I would do if I was the devil, I would convince you that I am not real. To a lot of people, that's their belief. They believe he's not real. Some people go, well, if I believe he's not real, then he won't be real. You hear it and then you decide that you're not going to believe it. If I talk to myself enough, I'll believe it. And we do that with a lot of things. If I tell myself enough, I'll believe that. The devil tries to give us that cartoon image to try and just water himself down. He's not going to come out and say exactly how he is, because then you would flee from him pretty quickly, wouldn't you? Gabby probably remembers this. We used to have a drama team at the Bay City Church. Gabby used to go when she was younger. Not much younger, but younger. And they started a drama team. And they rang me up and said, because I was part of this church, and they said, would you come along and help us? We're forming a drama team And we want you to come along because you know a lot about drama, you've done a lot of drama, and help us start it. Well, I ended up being there for over 3 years, I think 3 or 4 years. And we did this drama that was to a Carmen song. Carmen's a Christian singer. I don't know if you know of him. And he sung this song called The Champion. And it's a fight between the devil and Jesus. And guess who got to play the devil? Every time. I don't know. Apparently I must look like him. And apparently he's handsome, so I don't know. No. But I would get to play the devil every time. My role in that thing, I believed, was to show what the devil was really like. So I would come across, I'd put all this drama makeup on and make myself look all cool and handsome and stuff. It's pretty hard to make myself look handsome. I had to put a lot of makeup on. Nah. But I would, my job was to make everybody see what the devil was really like. And that's what I would go in to do that drama, trying to do. Make everybody believe that the devil was who he really is and see what he really was, not some pitchfork sort of dude. And after I'd finished the drama and we'd clean up and I'd take my makeup off, none of the kids ever wanted to be anywhere near me and they would avoid me. I'd see them going, oh, it's the devil, I'm going over here. And it didn't really faze me because I was like, well, if they really got the real picture of who the devil really was, then that was a good thing. It's just nobody wanted to talk to me. We have all kinds of jokes about the devil because it seems that we want to laugh about it rather than really realise what he really is like. If you think this devil is that sort of devil, then you won't believe that he could lie to you or corrupt you. And you wouldn't even realise that he was. A classic example of this is I've been going out to the prison for 28 years doing prison ministry. And some years ago there was a guy that I was talking to about the Lord. And every week we'd have a discussion one-on-one talking about God. And at the end of the discussion I'd say to him, so would you like to ask Jesus into your life? And he'd go, oh, nah, all good, bro, maybe next week. And I would just carry on, come in the next week, sit down and talk to him for a half an hour, tell him all about the Lord, tell him things that God had done in my life, showed him examples of how God works, get to the end, say, so would you like to ask Jesus into your life, bro? And he would go, oh, no, nah, not this week, maybe next week. For 6 weeks I did that, 6 weeks. 6 weeks I wasn't really paying attention. I thought I was doing what God was telling me to do, and I probably was, but I wasn't listening properly to hear correctly what was going on. And on the 7th week, I sat down and did the same thing, told him about the Lord, told him about what God's word says, asked him the question at the end, would you like to ask Jesus into your life? Same answer came. Nah, not this week, maybe next week. And then right then and there, I heard the Lord say very clearly, every time you ask him, the devil's saying, say not this week, maybe next week. I went, oh, okay. So I said to him again, okay, can I pray for you then, bro? And he goes, yep. And all I did was I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I tell you to shut up, devil. Stop lying to this man. And then I turned to him again. This is only a matter of seconds later. Said to him, do you want to ask Jesus into your life, bro? He goes, oh, yep, cool. And right there and then he asked Jesus into his life. The devil will lie to people. Once you become a Christian, he stops lying to you. Nah, it's not true. He keeps lying. You know, he's got this plan. Number one, if you don't know him, he wants to stop you from knowing Jesus. If he loses that battle, you become a Christian, he stops trying to hassle you. Nah, not true. He carries on. He will never stop. So once you become a Christian, the next move is stop you from getting into a relationship with Jesus, getting to know him. If that doesn't work, the next move is stop you from doing anything for Jesus and just sit on the pews every week and do nothing. If that battle doesn't work, he'll try and make things happen to stress you out, make you sick, because his whole plan is to take you out. If I was the devil, I would convince you, if you're a good person, you don't need Jesus because you're a good person. If you go to church, that's good enough. You don't need to become a Christian. Going to church is all good. I go to church every week, so I'm all good. Or, I'm friends with the pastor, so that'll cover my bases. I'm all good. I'm friends with Pastor Warren. He's the senior pastor of the church. Woohoo! I've got a free ticket. Not so. I'd say that would be the devil lying to you. If I was the devil, I would try to destroy everything good in your life. I'd destroy your job, your joy, your happiness, your health, your finances, your marriage, and your kids. I just want to ruin everything I can get my hands on. If I was the devil, I'd steal from you. The word thief in the Greek means to steal. It gives a picture of a bandit, a pickpocket, or a thief who steals without being detectable. I don't know if any of you guys have ever, there was a program on a few months back, and it was about gypsies in Moscow, in Russia. And they would go around the marketplace, and they would pick your pocket, take your wallet, and you didn't even know they'd taken it. And before you realised that your wallet was gone, they had gone as well. They were so clever at being able to slip their hand into your pocket, your purse, or whatever, and take it without you even realising it. I've tried it. Everybody detects me when I try. So they had done it without anybody realising it. That is what the devil does. He tries to take stuff from you, and before you realise it's gone, it's gone. We need to be aware of his cunning plans. An example of how the devil robbed me financially at one stage. Some years ago, well actually it's over 24 years ago, so it must be 30 years back, we were struggling financially, and we just didn't seem to make ends meet with our bills and stuff, and just weren't getting anywhere, and I was frustrated about it, and I prayed about it one day, and the Lord reminded me that I had had this guy that was a builder at work make me a cabinet for $30 for my amplifier for my electric guitar, and I'd never paid him. But he'd left work and he'd bought a motorhome or a big bus, and he was travelling around all over New Zealand in this motorhome with his family, and I had no idea where he was. So I would make these excuses that were obviously the devil talking to me, saying, oh, I don't know where he is, so I can't pay him. And then it would be, oh, it's only $30. It's not really that big a deal. And then it was, oh, it was a year or two back, so he's probably forgotten, so don't worry about it. All three of those statements were the devil just saying, it's all good, it's all good. Because sometimes we need to fix some things that the devil has corrupted in us to make things right and allow God to bless us. So I prayed about it. I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to pay that money, and I think you do, give me the opportunity to pay him back. And within a matter of days, I was walking through the middle of town, and I was walking down just past where Whitcalls is, there's a money machine on the side of the wall, and I'm walking down the road like this, and no joke, the money machine's there, and this guy's wife's there, walking towards me. And I went, I owe your husband $30, and she goes, oh, don't worry about it. And I said, no, I need to worry about it. Just wait, the money machine's here. And I got the money, she says, oh, I'm in a hurry, and I said, I won't be sick, got the money out, gave it to her, wiped the bill. Within a matter of weeks, my financial situation changed, and I wasn't financially stressed. Just a simple little thing. But the devil's cunning. He's not going to make it obvious. The devil is like a person that persists, a persistent, neurotic, impulsive thief. Like a kleptomaniac. Know what a kleptomaniac is? Can't control their habit of stealing. That's what the devil is like. He continuously tries to corrupt us, to send us in a different direction, to stop us from being blessed. If I was the devil, I would kill. Now, this doesn't mean like murder. This type of killing, if we really look at the biblical example of it, not only does a thief come to steal, but Jesus said that he also comes to kill. The thief is not trying to kill us, like murder us. He's trying to kill everything that we have. Once he's lost the battle of trying to destroy things and take what God has blessed us with, the next thing is to take us completely out so we have nothing. The thief cannot bear the fact that you possess any kind of blessing at all. Therefore, if he is unsuccessful at stealing from your life, he will try to cunningly convince you to give up everything you possess and love, simply because he doesn't want you to have it. He may even try to create stressful situations that cause you to conclude that you only must sacrifice what you have left in your life. If I was the devil, I would destroy. So then Jesus went on to say that the thief also comes to destroy. The word destroy, it carries the idea that something that is ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, and destroyed. By using this word, we discover that if the thief is unsuccessful in his attempts to steal from you, he convinces you to sacrifice what you still have. And he just makes things really awkward and bad until he succeeds in this. We've got to resist that. But how do we resist that? So John 10:10 is our answer, really. We've got to look at what it's saying and really understand that the devil is out to take us out. Whatever we do in our life, making sure that we don't allow him any inroad. So how do we do that? I don't know about you, but every time you think to do something that doesn't line up with Scripture, it's probably the devil. Because if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not God. So if you feel to do something and it's something in Scripture says completely the opposite, then it's probably not God telling you to do it. It's probably the devil. If we expanded on those verses in John 10:10, this is what I think it would say. The thief wants to get his hands into every good thing in your life. In fact, this pickpocket is looking for an opportunity to wriggle his way so deeply into your personal affairs that he can walk off with everything you hold precious and dear. And that's not all. When he's finished stealing all your goods and your possessions, he'll take his plan to rob you blind to the next level. He'll create conditions and situations so bad that you'll see no way to solve the problem except to sacrifice everything that remains from his last attacks. The goal of the thief is to totally waste and devastate your life. If nothing stops him, he'll leave you insolvent, flat broke, and cleaned out in every area of your life. You'll end up feeling as if you have finished and out of business. Make no mistake, the enemy's ultimate aim is to obliterate you. If I was the devil, I'd pick at your weaknesses until I could destroy your strengths. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. That's the second part of that scripture, John 10:10, and that's the part we need to hold on to resist the devil and push him back. I'll repeat that. I have come, this is Jesus, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. The words they might have, from the Greek, that means to have and to continually possess the life Jesus offers us, which suggests a life that is filled with vitality. The words abundantly in the Greek mean to be above, beyond what is regular, extraordinarily, or even exceeding. This is not just abundance, but superabundance. What a comparison. The devil comes to kill, rob, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life, and life more abundant. Let's expand on that part of the scripture now. This is what I think. But I come that they might have, keep, and consistently retain a vitality, gusto, vigor, and zest for life that springs up from deep down inside. I came that they might embrace this unrevered, unequaled, matchless, incomparable, richly loaded and overflowing life to the ultimate maximum. In your walk with the Lord, you will experience times when the devil pushes your buttons. Other times the enemy will disguise his voice to seem like he is God. But if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not God. Is what he's saying lining up with God's word? If not, it's not God. It's the devil. You know, when the devil tempted Jesus, I don't know if you guys have read this, these scriptures, but Jesus fasted for 40 days. And he was pretty hungry, obviously. If you'd fasted for 40 days, you'd be pretty hungry. I haven't fasted for 40 days. I find it hard enough to do 2 days. he fasted for 40 days, and then the devil came to him and tempted him. 3 times the devil threw stuff at him, and 3 times Jesus threw back scripture, threw back verses from the Bible. If the devil is trying to hit at you, throw some scripture back at him. If you're struggling with sickness, find some scriptures in the Bible that say that Jesus wants you to be healed. If you struggle with depression, and I can say this because I do struggle with depression, but I've got a handle on it because I throw scriptures back at the devil about that. If you struggle with anything, if anything, the devil will pick on your weaknesses, so that's what you're struggling with. Throw scripture at him. Find something that supports you getting out of that situation and chuck the scripture back at him. Scripture is powerful. If I can compare it to anything in the world, if the devil was throwing stones at you, the scripture is like a shotgun that blows him back. He can't fight you with it. He can't defend himself with it. Because there is no doubt that the devil wants you to be defeated. The devil wants you to struggle, and the devil wants you to be sick, depressed, down in the dumps, glum and miserable. But Jesus wants you to have life, life that is unrevered, unequaled, matchless, incomparable, richly loaded and overflowing with life, and life to the maximum. James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But don't swear at him, because it won't work. But I have known of people who are unsaved, being attacked by the devil. And I can tell you, this is a story of actually one of my best mate. Before he was a Christian, he did something that allowed the devil to come and attack him, to do with taking drugs. And the devil tried to attack him in his bed, and demons actually came into the room and tried to hold him down on the bed. He swore at the devil, and they just carried on, because it doesn't work. But fortunately, his brother was a Christian, and he remembered his brother said that if the devil ever tries to attack you, that you resist him by rebuking him in the name of Jesus. So my friend rebuked the devil in the name of Jesus, not even a Christian, and the demons left. And then within a short period of time, he jumped in his car, drove to his brother's place and got saved, because he knew that the devil was real and realized that God was the only answer. Resist the devil and he must flee. If you're being attacked by the devil, rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Don't swear at him. Don't try, tell him to go away, F off, pee off, whatever, because it won't work. Resist him by saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Another thing that we need to know is that if we go anywhere where we feel like the devil could attack us, as soon as you leave, make this statement. I break defilement off in the name of Jesus. Because we got to do that sometimes. Like the work that I do, I go into the prison, I go into gangs and stuff. Sometimes I feel like I'm okay and other times I don't. But I'll walk out and break off defilement in the name of Jesus. Because the devil's trying to get on us all the time, trying to take us down. But he can't if we stop him, if we resist him. So resist him. So this morning, that's my word that God has given me. If you don't know Jesus this morning, today is your day. If you've been coming to this church for years and never got saved, maybe you need to do that today. Come and see me afterwards. Come and see Janine. Come and see George or Sandy. Talk to Nia. Talk to Wendy. Talk to Gabby. Talk to Caleb. Talk to somebody that comes to this church that you know is saved. Don't leave it.